Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the 26th Sunday of Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
A little over 10 years ago, Professors Jeff Pfeffer and Bob Sutton from the Graduate School of Business here at Stanford co-authored a book called The Knowing-Doing Gap. The issue they analyzed was this. Corporations spend over $60 billion a year on education and training. They spend over $30 billion on management consulting. There are 80,000 graduates from business schools and over 2,000 business books published every year. So why, with all these massive resources, is there such little positive change in what managers and organizations do? The authors call this the knowing-doing problem. The challenge of turning knowledge into how to enhance organizational performance into action consistent with that knowledge. The gospel story we just heard presents an extreme case of a knowing-doing gap. It begins with vivid contrasts, rich versus poor. One man dressed in purple garments made of fine linen, the other clothed in ulcerous sores. Sumptuous daily meals, most likely with other rich dinner guests, versus scavenging for food with only dogs as one's companions. The rich man knows the laws of Moses and the prophets. He sees the poor man. He knows the name of Lazarus, the man who each day is lying at his doorstep, yet he's oblivious to Lazarus's pleas for food and for aid. It isn't until the story flips that the rich man realizes the dire consequences of his knowing-doing gap. The parable shifts dramatically with a surprising reversal of fate. The rich man is in hell, but looks up, sees Lazarus with Abraham, and begs, Father Abraham, send Lazarus with a drop of water to cool this torment. Well, the key to understanding this harsh punishment is that the rich man first sees Lazarus when he had lain at his gate, when he had an opportunity to help him. But during his lifetime, his wealth created a gulf that made him blind to the sufferings of the poor man. Now, he can gaze on him only when it's too late. I don't spend much time thinking about hell. Maybe I should. I do worry about hell for some of my Dominican brothers. And when once I explained to some of my friends that the fires of hell were a metaphor, they reacted with, whew. But then I suggested that it's a metaphor for something far worse, something that awaits those who willfully and continuously ignore the needs of the poor. That made them really sweat. The rich man's obliviousness is evident even in his dialogue with Abraham. Quick, he orders. Send Lazarus to warn my five brothers and have someone rise from the dead while you're at it. That'll convince them. But no, says Abraham. Your brothers have the same opportunity you had, namely the law and the prophets. Here Abraham is referring to the injunctions of the Torah to care for the poor and the needy, and to the prophets of the warnings, like we heard from Amos, who declares, woe to the complacent in Zion. Throughout the scriptures, the overriding evil of great wealth consists in the ways it can take over people's lives, such that it makes them deaf to the teachings of the Torah and the Gospels, and blind to the sufferings of neighbors. Now, wealth isn't intrinsically evil, but it definitely can be dangerous. And while it may make some people feel good, disparaging the rich is just a sign of sanctimony. Thank God for the wealthy women who supported Jesus, and for the rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, who tenderly buried him, and for all the wealthy saints today who follow in their footsteps. What the rich man in today's parable utterly lost sight of is the biblical idea of justice, which can be described as fidelity to the demands of a relationship. This is very often in contrast to our American and Silicon Valley sense of individualism. For we are God's representatives and conversation partners in the world, and all women and men have fundamental dignity that must be respected and fostered. Pope John Paul II constantly invoked this parable to challenge rich nations of the world to see impoverished peoples, many of whom were right at their doorsteps, at their borders. And one of the many exciting aspects of Pope Francis's young papacy is his repeated emphasis on the primacy of the poor. And we may even find some hints to solving this knowing-doing gap in the recent in-depth interview with Pope Francis. Pointing to Caravaggio's statue of St. Matthew, Francis said, "Here, this is me, a sinner on whom the Lord has gazed." What a stunning revelation. Matthew, the wealthy tax collector, Jorge Bergoglio, you and I, sinners all, and yet each of us is being singled out for discipleship. The secret, it seems, to closing the knowing-doing gap is this: God's radical forgiveness and God's radical love. A radical love shown to us by all of creation, a love given to us by God becoming one of us in Jesus, a radical love of the cross and of resurrected life. And each of us is invited to participate in God's radical love. Our call to justice is to live in right relationship with the Lord, with ourself, with each other, and all of creation. And to realize that Lazarus, the poor man who died outside the gate, is Christ himself. And when we serve the poor, we grow in our ability to look at the world through the eyes of our loving God.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.